We're ahead of the agenda, and however, the agenda times are very. We have until 12:15 for lunch. I wonder, is Zlatko present that he can present and start presenting on item N? Here he is. Thank you, Zlatko. And Stephen.
Oh, the disclaimer.
We're taking up trial court trust fund allocations, 2% state level reserve, action required, item N. We'll go for as long as we can on this item until we break for lunch at 12:15.
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Chief, members of the council.
Good morning.
And we're here to discuss an allocation of the 2% state level reserve set aside for unanticipated and emergent needs funding for trial courts. If you recall, we have two requests before you, Kings County and San Joaquin. I might add, and this would help with the time, is that based on your prior actions regarding the benefits funding, the San Joaquin request is no longer necessary in terms of your approval of any funding for them, but we still have the court here to present on their implementation of the court assessment and review team as was requested by the council. So we'll focus the discussion in terms of your decision-making regarding the King's request. Unless there are any questions, I'll proceed. In September, the King's Court did submit a request for urgent needs funding based on a negative fund balance, which is a primary criteria for qualification of a $2.3 million in 12-13. That was based on an expenditure of $2.1 million for a failing case management system, as well as a $143,000 budget shortfall. At the council meeting in October, the council allocated the maximum that was allowed per our process, which was the court's contribution to the 2% pot of $94,000, and still had left this issue of the case management request to be decided later. The court did submit on January 30th its request with a smaller need of $1.97 million. That comprised that of the $2.1 million for the CMS, but at this point, absent those expenditures, they did have a positive fund balance, but they still qualify because there's an assumption that they will need to make some expenditures this upcoming year, and so that gets you to their negative fund balance, which qualifies them for consideration in this process. So what we have is we have two options that we've put before the council for your consideration. One is to deny the request and have the county, the court, continue on its main frame based with the county. We note, though, that in part of your consideration, that based on this, if this were to occur, that costs would increase to the court starting in 14-15 for two factors, just court county costs as well as additional programming costs. So what we see here is that if we don't invest today, the court will be before you again in the future likely asking for additional resources just to cover the cost of maintaining their existing CMS. The second option, as described, and I'll have Judge Herman can talk about the work of the tech committee, but it is a sort of a modified approach. It addresses an issue of potentially providing them the entirety of their request over a five-year period, but we limit the potential allocation to the amount that is identified for need only in this the 12-13 fiscal year. I see it's 12-12, but the 12-13 fiscal year. And that as we evaluate their needs going forward, we do look at the potential savings as they would cycle off of their local county system. There are some terms and conditions that were identified by the tech committee that would are part of this recommendation. So I think that's the high-level issue. I know that Judge Herman would like to make some comments. The court is here, and there's some comments from Kurt Sutherland as well.
Okay. Could you just back up one slide just for a moment just so we have it correct? It says $773,000 to be allocated in 2012-2012. I think that's 2012-2013.
Right.
But as I understand from the court, maybe the court can address this, where we are today, that there's a reason why it's front-loaded, first of all, because of the deployment process, but secondly, that $773,000 would not be expended in this fiscal simply because of the delay in moving forward with the project. It would be significantly less, so that that amount would be spread over the 5 years in equal increments. So.
Yeah, it's at 733. I think we had some. There's a typo on that line in two places. It's 733 for 1213, acknowledging that they wouldn't be able to get it all. So, to the extent there's an allocation, it would be in their fund balance available for them to spend in the subsequent fiscal year, and we'd evaluate what resources would be needed in the 13-14 fiscal year to continue the project.
Good morning. I'm Steve Barnes from Kings County Superior Court. I am lucky person to be the new assistant presiding judge, as well as come and discuss with you today. I've been working on this technical project for a long period of time. Do you want me to address the $772,000, roughly $733,000? The difficulty is that the emergency that we have has to do with the county, in essence, throwing us off their mainframe. That's the emergency that we have. We have an old COBOL system, not a bad system. It's just COBOL. It's difficult. The last programmer that I saw that retired was in their 80s. It's very difficult to keep it running. We're going to have to get out of that. The difficulty that we have, why we have to front load that much money, is because we expect at least for the first 12 months or less to spend probably $600,000 to $700,000 in the conversion process from our legacy data out of three COBOL systems to put them in a new system as we've selected in our application. In essence, that's the long and short of it. That's the difficulty. And we can't do that between now and the end of June of this year. I mean, we could, but it wouldn't be fiscally appropriate to just give somebody that money. I mean, we have to buy our own. We have to pay for a COBOL programmer. We have to get a project manager. There's many things we have to do that we can't do before the end of June. The other problem is that the flames in our house are reaching the ceiling, and we're trying to get the sprinklers to come on, and that's why we're here today. And the reason is, if we don't get this started by the time the county gives us the boot, if we don't have a new system in place, we're not going to have any way to access our legacy data. And it's not a process that's going to take 3 or 4 months. We expect it to take at least 13 to 14, possibly 15 months, just to get the system to go live. We expect, if we get approval today, to enter into this contract as quickly as possible, to begin negotiations, and then get this process on the road. So I probably went a little further than Judge Herman wanted, but nonetheless, is there any other questions I can answer?
What I would like is, Kurt, could you, because I think the council needs more walkthrough of this. First of all, you know, what the urgent need is, because, you know, needs are something that for the long term, both strategic planning on the technical side as well as what the subcommittee of the trial court budget working group is looking at, addressing court needs is going to be something that's going to be developed over time, and this is a project that probably can't wait for that overall strategic issue because of the emergency. So, you know, if you could walk us through, number one, you know, perfect storm that this court is in regarding their case management system in terms of, first of all, the county just categorically declaring that in the sometime during 2014, the county is going to pull all of their functions off of their mainframe, with the only remaining resident or renter on the mainframe being the Kings County Superior Court, which is going to shortly double what they have to pay for those services, from about $255 million to $255,000 to $536,000 annualized. Secondly, they are also going to carry the cost load, if they remain on their current system, of configuration costs regarding the annualized upkeep in terms of statutory adjustments to their system. It's pretty clear that in terms of funding, at least at this point for technology, without the planning process that's going to go forward, that there are no options for funding other than the 12% fund balance at the state level. CTA and the DOF has clearly told us that they will not even accept a budget change proposal, which is how we initially looked at supporting Kings County's proposal. So if the issue is, do we choose to continue to accept applications on an annualized basis from Kings to help them cover that doubled gap between county services as it presently exists and as it will exist, or do we, from a cost-benefit analysis and return on of investment, say, look, that money is better in terms of go forward, better contributed to giving them a system that's going to, at the end, have a definite cost-benefit analysis in their favor, with a they jump to a $430,000 base payment and then additional costs for COBOL that add up to the $536,000. So walk us through that so the council can see where we're going. In part, we first looked at this as granting them outright this year out of the 2%, $2.1 million, and that has a couple of aspects that are problematic. The first problem is that gives them a fund balance in the current year that could be swept either this year or the next year. Second, it doesn't give us as a council oversight and control over how those funds are expended and how they're accounted for by the Kings County Court. And third and fourth. So, again, I invite you to walk the council through it and take a look at the materials and the tables that are included in the support for item N.
Can I make a comment before yes. we go to Kurt? I just want to say that I understand it would probably be better if we already had the strategic plan for technology for the branch in place. Unfortunately, we've been working very hard. The technology committee has been working extremely hard to get that moving. And as you've heard, tomorrow we have an all-day meeting with CEOs, CIOs, judges, outside individuals to begin that process that will take approximately 1 year. So, yes, it would be nice if we had it in place and could tell and could decide based on that, but we can't. So we have to deal with Kings as it is right now. And it makes sense, and Kurt will go through more, but fiscally it makes sense to go forward with Kings. I had asked the question at our phone conversation, who else is asking for it this fiscal year? And the answer was no one, just Kings at this point. And I would hope that if we do approve it, that we would be able to leverage whatever process Kings goes through to enter into a contract for CMS so that other similarly situated and sized courts could piggyback off of that process as well. So, I see that as a potential cost saving, too. So.
Can I add one comment? Also,
yes, Judge Moss.
Before Kirk speaks. We are struggling, as Justice Ashman Gerst said, to come up with an overall strategic and tactical plan for where we go post-CCMS. But Mary Winkley at the Technology Summit recognized that there are some interim problems we must address. We can't wait for the final strategic plan that's approved by the council or the tactical plan to put out some fires that exist. San Luis Obispo was one. We dealt with that. And the only other remaining one is Kings County. I think that we have to address this even though we don't have a tactical plan. And Mary Winkley said this is expected, that you have interim plans you have to address. Also, this is not a very big bite in the big picture. It's a relatively small amount. And instead of paying it out in one bite, we're spreading it over 5 years in relatively smaller increments. And we have placed the conditions we've suggested include controls, that will pay that on an invoice kind of basis, that will pay it as you go. And I think it's a pretty conservative way to deal with it and address the problems this county is facing. And dollar-wise and, what is it, pound foolish, whatever it is, penny-wise and pound foolish, if we don't give them the money now. I think in the long run it's going to cost more to pay for this old antiquated COBOL system that they're working with their county. So I think it's the smart move.
Judge Jackson, then Judge Ellsworth, then Judge Elias.
I agree with what Judge Moss has just said, but I am concerned about, and it was raised briefly in the presentation, regarding a project manager, that you would have to hire a project manager. And since we're trying to leverage and trying to save, would it be possible for that to be one of our conditions, that we have a project manager approved by AOC, or if not, use the resources of AOC to be the project manager that may save some of the money?
Are you able to answer that question?
Oh, first I should address, Jody, are you capable of being a project manager on something like this?
So if I can use the acronym,
similar
it's so.
Similar to what we did with Nevada.
Yes.
We would provide oversight. We could do that, which is Nevada court has a project manager, and my office provides oversight to ensure that the project stays on time and on budget.
And that's what I would like to see in this.
And we would propose just Kurt Soderlund doing the same approach as Jody recommended. You might recall that, as Judge Moss and Judge Herman indicated, this is very similar to the circumstances that confronted San Luis Obispo in terms of, if I could paint a picture for where the court is at, and they've been looking at this issue for at least three fiscal years at this point in time, and to paint a picture like in the Old West when you light the gunpowder, it's headed towards the big barrel, and it's going to blow up here pretty soon. We had always envisioned providing oversight to the extent that we can and have resources available. My caution is that the ITSO division has taken significant cuts because of the CCMS reduction in positions. I believe they've lost 47 positions at least at this point in time. And to clarify just a couple things, there's a chart in your materials that identifies a figure of $791,000 that makes it look like the project will stay in the red. The unfortunate thing about this chart that
page 11 of the report.
Yeah, if we had extended the chart out another year and a quarter, that's when you would meet the break-even point for when the project would then start to be in the black, looking at the costs that won't have to be paid to the county. Another issue that was raised dealt with the $142,000 as cash or fund balance, if you will, projected at the end of the year. I would caution that's a projection. And $142,000 on their budget of around $8.8 million equals 1.61%. And to use our technical terms, that's like budget dust. And we would anticipate that the court is going to have cash flow problems next year because that's a very, very thin margin.
Can I stop you, Kurt, to also find out if Judge Ellsworth or Judge Elias, who previously had your hands up during that previous discussion, would like to raise a question or issue a comment now?
I do.
I withdraw. Go ahead, Judge Elias.
I'm sorry, I don't withdraw.
That's your prerogative.
Thank you. Okay. I've heard all these conference calls. I've been on the tech committee listening to this, and I have some concerns. I understand their need for money. I understand their system problems. I understand that. I have two major concerns. Number one, I think we're going down this path of ad hoc giving money, and I think we really need our plan faster. We need to get some strategic plan and not do these one at a time this way. We just have to get it done fast. My second concern about this particular project, first, is that my understanding from our, and it shows on your chart, is that they are going to save money after, I think it's starting in 2014, because they're not going to be paying the money to the county that they were paying now to use the service. And there is nothing in the proposals here to provide that money that they save has to go to offset the costs of their computer system. So they're receiving money for the computer system, and then they're getting money, saving money from the county for the computer system. And it's my belief that we should have a resolution that the money that they save, that they would have paid to the county, which shows on their chart, should be used to offset the money that the AOC, that we all are paying for their computer system. And I understand somebody said, well, it'll be in good faith. They won't do it. We'll be looking at it. But I believe that PJs come and go. We all know that people remember things differently. You know, isn't that a jury instruction? A failure of recollection is not uncommon. And that we should put it in writing that was everybody's understanding that they would. But I think we should put it in writing so that it's very clear for future generations when we're all off this council and the PJ has changed, that that's the expectation. I just have to make one comment about cobalt. I learned this week that the L.A. Superior Court entire criminal division is on cobalt.
A lot of us are.
Yeah.
So Judge Kaufman, Judge Brandlin, Judge Herman, the Commissioner Alexander.
We discussed that, and basically you have to understand, all the request is that we approve $2.1 million over a five-year period of time, that the first year they get $773,000, and any request after that, they have to come back through the oversight, either through Zlatko or Jody or Kurt, whatever, and justify what they're doing. At the same time, they will be looking at their fund balances, how they're spending money. And if they actually have a fund balance and saving money, they won't get all the money. The other side of the coin is that you can't go to a vendor and say, we want you to put a system in, if you don't have a guarantee of funding for the whole point. So all we're saying is to everybody is, over a five-year period, that we will allocate $1 million with total oversight. If they have fund balances, we're not going to give them all that money. And so there'll be oversight and approval. They have to justify it. And as Emily said, although I agree, there has to be oversight and we have to delineate that. But I don't anticipate this as one of those projects. We just dump $2.1 million in a fund and they can come get it whenever they want. Okay?
Judge Brandlin.
Thank you, Chief. First, I want to tell you that I sympathize with the position that Kings County is in. As Judge Elias mentioned, Los Angeles Superior Court, we have 290 courtrooms in our criminal division that run on COBOL. We also process a million traffic citations a year on COBOL. I have some questions. What is Kings County going to be doing with this old mainframe that they're going to get off of?
The county.
Yes, the mainframe belongs to the county. It doesn't belong to the court.
No, and I understand that. But my impression is that this urgency is created because the county is moving to some different plan.
The county has several programs that they run on their mainframe as well. They're migrating off the mainframe. The last one is their property tax revenue-based system. That's what they're working on now to remove it from. They're getting out of the mainframe business. While the CEO might tell us, well, yeah, we'll work this out, we'll do this, the tech people they have are saying, look, we're getting out of the mainframe business. You guys figure out what you want to do. That's the difficulty. And if I could just address the COBOL issue, the Common Business Operating Language, that was invented in 1959. It's a good system. There's nothing wrong with the system. The problem that we have with that system is that the programmers that have worked on it over the years, to my understanding, when they come up with a bug in the program, they don't reprogram it in COBOL and make it work correctly. They have programmed around that issue, which in COBOL is easy to do. I started out programming in CPM, BASIC, Microsoft DOS. I've been involved in computers a long time. COBOL is nothing wrong with it. It works fine as long as it's programmed correctly in the first place. We've had these issues. And the COBOL issue is not the issue with us. It is actually the county getting us off their system.
Does your county understand the impact that it's going to have to your court, and where you if this goes down and you're stuck with other options, that what you're going to have to do to downsize?
Pretty much, yeah. They've given us three separate options. The options that they gave us, which to me personally didn't, you know, I don't understand how the county could tell us what to do, but nonetheless, one of them was, we'll give you the mainframe. You go put it inside your courthouse. Okay, that's going to cost us $800,000 over the same five-year period of time that it would have if we didn't do that, because then we have to hire more IT people. The system we propose is a off-base, non-hosted server. So we don't have the tech problems. It's a software as a service, so we don't have other IT expenses for that issue as well. So I'm not complaining about COBOL when we reference that particular issue.
I would just add that their vendor, this hasn't been brought forward, but their vendor, RFP vendor, is the least expensive of the vendors that responded to their RFP, and it's Tyler Tech, which is one of the vendors approved through the Sacramento hosted RFP process. So,
the other comment that I would have, though, is I have some concerns about paying for a CMS through, in essence, the reserve funds, because in essence we're allocating money that came from all the court's reserve funds for the purposes of a CMS that's going to benefit one court. My concern is what happens when we deplete that balance. This is money that would normally go back to the courts, courts that are running on fumes. What's going to happen to the other courts if they don't have that funding? Are we going to end up having to lay off employees in other courts because we're funding this project as worthy as it may be?
Yeah, I think just in response to that, that's one of the issues that we faced on the technology committee. Again, you know, the perfect fit might be, well, it's this fiscal. This is the only court that's applied for relief from the 2% fund balance at the state level. Let's authorize the whole amount this fiscal. The problems are, as I said, number one, I don't think we want to put this court in a position to have that fund balance swept. Number two, and this is really the key piece, we want to have control. We're talking about the AOC staff having control, but the tech committee and the council will own this. We want checks and balances on the King's Court to, again, make sure we meet Judge Elias's issue, which is that this is not going to be a gift to this court. This is to relieve them from the fact that they have the unexpected issue of suddenly having their costs doubled with no return on investment to this court. So that we monitor year by year, and again, so that this, instead of the $2.1 million coming out of that branch-level reserve this fiscal, that it is spread out over time, and as this court turns things around through business efficiencies and otherwise, as Judge Elias says, they'll be required to contribute anything that they've got in their fund balance. And I might also add that this court has, if you look at the materials, taken substantial steps in order to cut back as severe as any court in the state. They have combined their assistant and their CEO together to share workloads. I think at 40% level, they have mandatory furloughs for all of their staff. And how many, Judge Barnes? How many furlough days a month are your, is your staff furloughed?
27 days, sir.
So
27 days a year.
27 days a year. Significant staff reductions. And that's all in your materials as well. So this is not a court that has not taken severe measures, as many of the rest of us have, in order to get their house in order.
And Todd Barton, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Alexander, then Judge Earl, then Judge Moss.
My question is the proposal to allocate the full 2.11 with 733,000 this year? Or is it 733 now, and then they come back and ask for the difference? Because what I can see is there's going to be more demand on this fund if trial courts have to get down to the 1%.
In essence,
5-year period.
In essence, in order, and I think this was the discussion, is that execution of a contract is relied upon with some level of funding there. So the concept is that the 2.11 is what would be the commitment over the 5 years, with the initial outlay of the 733, with then annual reviews of the need for that year's costs evaluated based on their ability at the, what their fund balance is, what if there are any costs and their projections are different. So we would review it every year over the course of 5 years. They may not need all of the 2.1. Well, in fact, they won't, because they'll have savings in the towards the tail end. But we're making a commitment to support them at this level with further analysis each year and what ability they have to make that payment. Does that answer the question?
I'm just trying to figure out what their position is if next year, well, maybe not, I'm not sure if it'll be next year or the year after next, with regards to when everybody is supposed to get down to their 1%, if that doesn't change, then I think we're going to end up with a lot of requests, and I'm not sure how much is committed to them that then nobody else gets anything those years or gets very little or a lot less because of the previous commitment to this court.
Well, you know, a third of it is going to be addressed through this particular allocation in the first year, and so there's a substantial decline to smaller amounts, and when we get to years 4 and 5, when they have these county savings, it's possible that we won't need to make an actual allocation at that point in time.
Chief, a technical clarification.
Well, wait, before you get there, Judge Earl, then Judge Moss.
I also sympathize with Kings, but am concerned about the use of this 2% funding to fund case management systems. I see us as stewards of that 2% funding for the trial courts, who many of which are hoping to get that back to use in their operations, and we would be depriving them of that. And I think we have to be careful, because while Kings may be the only county that has submitted a request for funding to fund a case management program, I guarantee you there are 57 other courts watching what we do today, and the door will be busted down in years to come.
Judge Moss and Justice
Baxter. I wanted to respond in part to something that Judge Brandlin raised and Judge Earl just repeated, that all courts are paying for the, in effect, the CCMS system that's going into Kings County. That's true. But any allocation from the 2% fund, whatever the crisis is a court is facing, all the courts are giving part of their money to take care of that crisis. So that's kind of goes without saying, whether it was CCMS or they needed to hire a new CEO, whatever their emergency is, it's the same thing. It's always the case. And it may be we didn't create this budgeting model, but we're kind of left with that. And hopefully we're going to have in place, to recommend to the council, a strategic plan and a tactical plan to deal with CCMS needs in the years to come. That's what we're struggling to come up with in the tech committee and the working group and the task force. But we can't just put everything on hold until we get there. We have to deal with these emergencies as they arise. There's only been a couple of them, relatively small, so I'm thankful for that.
Justice Baxter, then Edith Mathai.
First of all, I'm very familiar with the court. I'm very familiar with the leadership of the court, and I'm very convinced by the comments that have been made by Judge Herman and those that know a lot more about technology than I do, and I would like to move the recommendation.
I would second it.
Second by Judge Jacobson, second by Judge D'Alba, and Edith Mathai.
I just wanted to comment that I don't see the division that's being made here between a case management system and court operations. I don't know how you operate a court without a case management system. And so it's really, it seems to me, a false division. We seem to have an emergency in this court that deals directly with the operations of the court, and therefore I believe that it needs to be addressed.
Thank you. David Yamasaki.
Yeah, I just had a clarifying question, and perhaps I missed it in the information. I think in the proposed solution, while the immediate problem is replacing the case management system that supports traffic and criminal, I think what I thought I read was that the solution was for all case types.
That's correct.
And so the urgency behind replacing the other case types was a question that I had, and I'll just leave it at that question.
I can answer that just quickly. Again, Judge Barnes, we have all of our traffic and all receivables in the COBOL Bay system on the county mainframe, as well as our another SIM systems, which is our upper court felony system, and another system called Courts, which runs a first apparent arraignment through preliminary hearing. So those are the three systems that we've got to get rid of. We have an ancient context ACS system that will be replaced into one system. That's how we get to where we are. And if I could just back up for 1 second, please. The statute that we applied under, we fall specifically, at least in our position, as an unforeseen emergency and an unanticipated expense. That's where we believe we fit into the 2%. And I know everybody understands that. The other thing I had to indicate is that you bring up an excellent point, which is that, how are you going to run a system? How are you going to run, in other words, we're losing all these employees, we're laying them off. They have all these furlough days. It's difficult enough with our CEO and deputy CEO off 40 days each a year. The difficulty is that if we continue to use the case management system we have without going into the details, it's so labor intensive for our clerks that we are going to be without, that if we get a new system, it's going to be a live system, macros, automation. One clerk can run the whole system during the courtroom during the day. So if we get a new system, we will be able to continue to be able to do that. Plus, no part of any funds that we are requesting today is going to be used in any way, shape, or form to help us with our budget difficulties and our layoffs and furloughs. I want to make that point clear.
Judge O'Malley, then Judge Jackson.
Just a point of clarification, Justice Baxter. There are two options. The first is to deny. The second is to grant, and there are subcategories A through G under option two. And am I correct that you're asking us to approve option two with all subcategories A through G?
That's thank what you. I thought I was seconding.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
You did, Morris. You did.
But I did make a suggestion that there's a project manager, which is not indicated as one of the conditions.
I know that the answer was there will be a project manager, but there's going to be oversight by the AOC.
That's in
correct?
G.
That's in G.
Okay.
G. Thank you. Did you want to make that technical response now, Kurt?
Yeah, just to clarify on the 2%, that it does not come from reserves. The 2% was taken from the base allocation. So, in effect, up to this point in time, the trial courts have received 98% of what they otherwise would have gotten. So after the council takes these actions, whatever is left will be reverted back to the trial courts.
So, what we have before us is recommendation number one, option two, A through G. Any further discussion or comment? Not hearing any. I think we'll do a roll call vote here. Judge John.
All right. We'll call the roll as to item to approve the recommendation on option two. Please signify by saying yes or no. Justice Ashman Durst.
Yes.
Judge Baker?
Yes.
Justice Baxter?
Yes.
Judge Brandlin?
No.
Appearing telephonically is Ms. Davis. Ms. Davis? No response to the call. Judge D'Alba?
Yes.
Judge Elias?
No.
Judge Ellsworth?
Yes.
Record should reflect that Assemblymember Bloom is not present. And Senator Evans is not present. Let's see, Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Judge Herman?
Yes.
Justice Hall?
Yes.
Judge Jackson?
Yes.
Judge Kaufman?
Yes.
Ms. Mathai?
Yes.
Justice Miller?
Yes.
Judge O'Malley?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Judge Rosenberg?
Yes.
Motion carries with two no votes.
Thank you.
If I may, Chief, there's one remaining action. This is Lotko.
Don't we have other options?
Yes. There was one remaining action item. Since, like I mentioned previously, that the benefits funding has been approved by the council, the San Joaquin issues are no longer needed to have any action regarding them. But the recommendation four, the council now has to, consistent with the statute, allocate any of the remaining funds that have been yet to be distributed. So we need to get that action, and it'll go back to the courts in the same proportion that it was taken from them, just less the amounts that have been allocated. So we have $94,000 previously for Kings, and now the action today of the $733,000. So the balance of approximately $27 million would be going back to the trial courts to get them to very close to 100% of what was appropriated for them.
So, Slotko, just for clarification, on our written materials, we've just taken care of recommendation number one, option two, but then there's a recommendation number two that speaks to San Joaquin County, which you indicated previously is no longer necessary.
Right.
Then there's a recommendation three, and then there's a recommendation four.
Right, and recommendation three was also related to San Joaquin.
Okay, so what we need to do is take action on recommendation four on page four, as you briefly described it. In that regard, do I hear a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, who moved approval? David Yamasaki, second by Judge Kaufman and Judge Moss. Any further, any discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor of recommendation four, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Recommendation carries. Thank you. Thank you, Judge Barnes.
Thank you. I would just like to thank everyone for their time and consideration, and especially Judge Herman taking the time on the technical committee and to go through everything with us. And I would also like to point out that our former presiding judge, Judge LaPorte, is here, as well as the assistant. Jeff Lewis.
Deputy director.
We don't really care about former presiding judges.
They come and they go.
No, I'm actually called emeritus because I've been doing this so long. So. Thank you very much.
Good timing, Jim.
150 down to 3. I think that this is a good time to take our lunch break before we take up the other matters on the agenda.
Yes, indeed.
I heard a second. So at this point, we will recess until 12:30.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chief, I'm sorry. Did you want San Joaquin to report on their progress with CART, or is the council satisfied?
Do we get a report?
You do have a written report that Rosa Junquero had submitted with regard to the status of every single CART recommendation, and I do want to say that they are about 78% complete with the recommendation. They've made incredible headway in the past several months.
I think we're fine with that written report. Thank you, Judge Warner and Rosa, for being present.